have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
You know we got this podcast, dude.
Hey,
I'm Ms. Knight. I need you to say hello.
Hello.
Thank you very much. And don't say it like Madea because you ain't Madea.
You don't tell me what to do all the time.
I ain't telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what I don't want you to do.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
So, welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. As you can see, we know what it takes. Make marriage. We do not profess to be relationship experts, but we have been through enough things in life to share with you that will help you to have a better outcome in your marriage and in your relationship.
Yeah.
I need you to do me a favor. I need you to get on your phone and call somebody and tell them to join this podcast, this conversation, because we're going to talk some stuff tonight. Because we need you to know some stuff, because we want to learn you a thing or two, and we want to hope some people. You want to hope some people tonight?
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Yeah, let's hope some people. Praise God. All right, so listen, I want to tell you that this podcast is unscripted. So you're going to hear some things that's going to be absolutely real. You're going to hear some things that's going to be absolutely wrong. And you're going to hear some things that's going to be totally relevant, because that's what we do. We want to share in making marriage meaningful. Now listen, as great as we sound, we don't do it all by ourselves. We have a great team of panelists who join us, some married, some divorced, some widow, and some, they are who they are. But they always have to share, and we do two things. We share from the Word of God, and with transparency, we share from personal life experiences. And we want to do that with you tonight. So definitely tune in tonight as we are about to approach the conversation in this podcast, Making Marriage Meaningful. Let's see who's joining us tonight. Let's see who's with us tonight. Talk to us.
Good evening. Good evening. We are
God bless
Gabriel, Otis and Felicia.
Brother Otis and Lady Gabriel, thank God for you both. We thank God for you both. Praying that all is well. Amen.
Yeah.
Who else is joining us? Who else do we have tonight?
And Reverend Billy Gabriel.
Well, God bless you, Reverend Billy Gabriel. Who else is here tonight? Who else is joining us?
Brother Chuck, where you at?
Yeah, you know you got to call him. You there?
Somebody just tapped the mic.
Somebody, yeah, he tapped it or he dropped it. Which one? I want to know, where is the producer of our podcast? I know she's busy preparing for something big going on in her city another week, but we still want to hear from her. I'm talking about Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Come on, Dr. Kimmy, let us hear from you.
She's never there.
Ain't that the case? Or she got herself on mute.
I'm here. I was muted. Yeah. Welcome. I was here. I'm here.
Oh, you here? Are you staying in the house tonight, or are you hanging out? You going elsewhere?
I would be. I had a long day
going
at the hospital. I would be back in a couple of weeks. Yeah, my dad is in the hospital.
Lord.
But I'll be.
Well,
I'm producing.
Well, we're praying. We're praying that all is well with him in Jesus' name. Okay.
Thank
right.
you.
Well, you got it. Well, listen. We are getting ready to go forward in tonight's discussion or conversation, should I say. So I'm going to ask Apostle Fee if she would pray, and I'll get the scripture, and we'll go from there. Apostle Fee, would you pray, please? Thank you so kindly for your cooperation, your submission, your obedience. Hallelujah.
Ooh, thank you, Lord. Gracious Father in heaven, we truly thank you now, God, for all things. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning, oh God, with the activities of our limbs, oh God. Father, I thank you even right now for a mindset to worship you, oh God, to praise you, God. a mindset, oh God, to lift your name on high. Gracious Father, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, you will forgive us now, oh God, of every sin, every deed, every thought, every action, oh God, that was displeasing to you, oh God. Father, we know that once you purge us, oh God, with your precious blood, oh God, that we, oh God, will turn from our sin. Allow our mindset, oh God, not to retract, oh God, but to go forth in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask even right now, oh God, that you would touch, oh God, Dr. Kimmy's father, oh God, while he's in the hospital, oh God. Father, I ask that you would dispatch your healing angels, oh God, and your warring angels, oh God, in the name of Jesus, to walk up and down the hospital walls, oh God, the hospital hallways, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, if there is a procedure, oh God, that needs to be done, Father, oh God, that you would guide, oh God, the surgeon's hands, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Allow him to have favor, Father, with the nurses, oh God, and the staff there at the hospital that he's in. Father, also give Dr. Kimmy, oh God, peace, oh God, that surpasses all understanding, oh God, but allow her to remember, oh God, not to lean unto her own understanding, but in all of her ways, oh God, to acknowledge you, oh God, and you will direct her path. Father, I ask also, oh God, that tonight's broadcast, oh God, that tonight's podcast, Father, be just fun, oh God, with no hindrances. Father, we thank you. We bless you for each and every person that's on the line and those that will be joining. It's in Jesus' matchless name that I pray. Amen.
Well, amen. Amen and amen. Well, let me give you this scripture, and we're going to get back into this conversation. 7:1-9, it says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife have not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband have not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud, that word is defraud, ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together, you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God. Yes. One after this manner, yes, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, yes, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Yes. But if they cannot contain... But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn.
Yes, that's the word.
So we started this discussion last week. Why did I get married? Why did I get married? And we talked about marriage being the legal or formally recognized union of two people as partners in a personal relationship. Let me say that again. The legally or formally recognized union of two people as parties in a personal relationship. Formal union and social and legal contract between two individuals that unite their lives legally, economically, and emotionally. I want to make this clear that the legal or the union of a social or a legal contract is, though it says between two individuals, we want to specify we are speaking primarily of one man, one woman. Well, it could be done. Somebody going to get left out and feel jealous and something like that. And that would no longer be a monogamous relationship. It would be a polygamous relationship, which would not be acceptable to certain individuals. and that's that. But I say this not to anyone's hurt or not to anyone's harm, but God never ordained two men to be together. He never ordained two women to be together. He ordained one man, one woman. That's just that simple. It does not get any easier, any simpler, or any more simplistic than that. One man, one woman to be together. That is legally, formally, they are uniting their lives in a personal relationship. We talked about last week as they unite their lives, they do it legally. As we talked about doing it legally, Brother Otis got to talking about something for your protection and also for your benefit. Now, one of the things that my wife and I began talking about is this, and we started talking about it last week as well, is this thing called a prenuptial agreement.
Why?
And there are those who are interested in prenuptial agreements because some see it as a protection.
Okay.
I see it as, and this is just me, and if I'm wrong, y'all forgive me, but I see it as an opportunity to say I'm expecting things to fail. And if you're getting married, you don't get married with the expectation of things to fail. You get married expecting to have a long lasting, blissful, blessed life together, that man and that woman. There are people who have been married for 25 years. There are people who have been married for 45 years. There are people who have been married even for 60-plus years.
Uh-huh.
It is possible if you are willing to put in the effort.
Yeah.
We have talked about weaving and doing what is necessary to be together with each other. We have talked about that. But we're talking about now from the aspect why. Some people get married and they have a question, because my wife, she was talking today, and she was saying how some people, they want to get married. Then when they get married, they find out that who they married wasn't who they thought they were marrying. And so now they're wondering, what did I do? Why did I get married? So this is a question that somebody is thinking right now, because they have ups and downs with their mate. They have ins and outs. Sometimes things are flowing. Sometimes things are not. And they're wondering, why did I get married? Well, again, this is something we have to consider, that there is a formal union and social and legal contract between two individuals, specifically a male and a female. And we talked about they uniting their lives legally, legally in the sense that God knows about it and the laws of the land know about it legally. That's legally. Not just because, you know, you got somebody who you want to live with and say, well, you know, we're going to live together forever. And, you know, and we're going to do what grown folk do. We're going to be married even though we don't have a piece of paper. Please hear me. That paper is not just a piece of paper, but it is an indication that you want to be recognized in a legal, formal matter. So we talked about being united together legally. We left off talking about economically. One of the things that we talked about is that when you get married, let's make it clear, just because you're in debt when you get married does not mean the spouse inherits your debt. That, well, but this is not what – I didn't make this up. I didn't make this up. This is it. They made it clear. If you're in debt, you need to handle that before you get married, because you otherwise you're going to stress out your marriage financially, and that is one of the reasons that a lot of people end up in divorce court, because financially they have stressed and strained themselves. So we were talking about this. We were talking about economically uniting. Let's talk about that a little bit. Uniting economically. All right, baby, anything you want to say about that uniting economically? Well, okay, apostrophe. I don't want you to get the wrong idea.
So, for the record, let me move over so you guys can hear me. For the record, I want it to be understood and made known that these are our beliefs, and our beliefs may not be everyone else's beliefs. When Dr. Whitlow comes with a scripture, it is what God has downloaded into him to share with the people. Okay, that's number one. We're all, and I said this before, because everybody has their own definition of how a marriage should be. With me, I want God to be the center of my marriage. Some people may not want God to be the center of their marriage. And if you really think about it, they have more issues than a magazine. So if you don't put God first, who are you putting first in your marriage? Because, do you really know the definition of love? That is all.
That's all you're going to say? Thank you. All right, Brother Otis. Come on, let's talk about this uniting, because I know you have some good stuff to share on that wise.
We most certainly do. The what happened on a prenup, it is a legal agreement. It's a contract, just like when you buy your house or when you buy a car. Now, anything after that becomes personal opinions. For example, I've been driving cars for a long time. I have never been without car insurance, even though I don't plan to have any automobile accidents. So that is just something personal opinion. However, in the event of unusual situations that will take place in any type of contractual agreement, then there must be, or it is a, sometimes, in this case, for a prenup, an advantageous, economically beneficial agreement for protection. And we want to be protected under all situations. We don't like to be out in the open where we become vulnerable. And if something happens, then we are ruined. And many times for life and significantly. So a prenup is just a legal contract. Now, the end is, you can always tell who has the most to lose. The person who initiates the prenup agreement is the individual that decides what goes on the prenup, because they have the power. Is that in case of separation or divorce, and even if one person dies, if you own a lot of property, this is just the best example. You have a lot of resources. You may have the owning, be the president now of your company business, and you meet a person and you decide to get married to that individual. This individual has low to no financial assets. So the state has laws that will determine what the couple's responsibilities are. I heard you say just because you get married to a person that you do not assume their debt. Well, that's not the case in most states. If a spouse has a debt and can't pay, they come in for the family, even though the credit card is just placed in one person's name. They are coming for the couple. And so they have different state laws, and so that is what it is for your agreement. Now, here's something that's really nice. You cannot make a prenup after you get married. For example, like the lottery winners, they all of a sudden, this man bought a ticket, put his name on the back of it, won $50 million, and the wife said, oh, half of that is mine. And it is hers because she's part of the marriage. You can't make a prenup now. Say that my money is my money. It's too late. You're already married. You're going to have a separation agreement. So now you got the big head. And if we separate, here's what I will get. And now they can both negotiate. Before that, it was the person with the most would be doing the negotiating. And it is really for the main word there is for protection of the individual assets, even if you cohabitate in some places, known as common law marriage. So yeah, that's a lot of information there, but it is for your protection. It's legal. It's binding as it is in buying a house. You can't get it afterwards, and it's solid, except if you got it under duress. Then the courts can take a look at it and say that you were forced to sign this particular prenup, which includes the children and other situations for later on. But if you need to know anything else about prenup, it is for your protection. It protects the assets, person who has too much to lose in case of separation or divorce, and it includes children born into the relationship. And that is all done before the marriage.
I have a question. So I have a credit card that's in the last name of Fly. I get married to Whitlow. I don't pay the credit card. Are you saying that he's not responsible for that credit card?
They're coming for the family. Your bills, you have to understand that once you get married, you become one. And that's biblical. You become one. Your bill is the family bill. Even though before you got married, of course it was only your name. It was your credit card. So I have credit cards. My wife has credit cards. And if one of the, I tell you what it's like, if one of the partners in the union would pass away, people assume that all debts die when they die. And we all know better than that, you know, after a family member passes away, now, you know, they come looking for, you know, the debts to be paid. They're going to come after you. And then you go to court, of course. Now, once you start going to court to get that, you're really in debt.
So I guess my question becomes, if as my wife just said, she has a credit card. She don't pay it. She's married to me now. Are you saying that that debt becomes community property? Is that what you're saying?
You say if you get a divorce?
No. I'm saying that my wife and I, we get married, right? And you're saying that what she doesn't pay her credit card bill. that are you saying that that debt becomes community property?
No.
What you have when you get married is you have a joining of property and assets if there is no prenuptial agreement. If you have what? Joint property.
I don't mean to cut you off, but when we keep mentioning it as prenup, and you know, and I understand that you're saying that it relates to those who have a whole lot to lose, but I think that if someone feels the need to get up, then maybe marriage isn't for them, because it goes in with the mindset, well, this is a just in case. That's just like my son goes to his prom, right? And I give him a condom. It's a just in case. See, some things just won't add up if we're doing that just in case. Because what we're saying is, I love you, but I don't trust you. So therefore, I'm gonna put this clause in there because there's a big difference between driving around having insurance and joining my life to somebody because we make this vow for better for worse, in sickness and health, for richer for poorer, so long as we both shall live. So why make such a vow and then put a little a clause on it? Well, this prenup is a clause. If we're going to join our life, let's join our life.
Let me speak to it from a lender's standpoint.
Yes, sir.
One of the things that we have to be careful with in these situations here is what the loan agreement or what the lender's agreement states. And basically that determines, notwithstanding your prenup, what the lender expects from the borrower is what the lender expects and what the lender will demand. And the prenup might protect the two people, but it does not necessarily isolate either one of them from the lender. And I dropped
okay.
the mic.
So, so then that would be on the wives, and this is why I understand where you're coming from. And again, we have to be ever so careful because, first of all, let's be truthful. The average individual who's getting married today, they don't have anything worse entering into a prenup. Because if we go into some of these communities where some individuals live, you know, you've got a lot of people who don't even make a solid $30,000 a year. What they entering the prenup for their undergarments? Come on, let's be truthful. Prenups, or if we're gonna do a prenup, we're talking about people who are already established and they have millions and millions in their account. They have a stockbroker. They have someone who handles their finances, and they have property and real estate and things like that. So we gotta keep stuff like that out of the picture, because what we do is we create a bad picture of a marriage before the marriage even gets the opportunity to be enjoyed. So if we're gonna have people joining their life, let's have them to join their life for the right reason and not because of what they may or may not have.
All right. You know that, Doctor, you are right on time tonight. And those are the reasons, the reason you say they shouldn't have are the reasons a person should have. Sometimes people get married and they have a blended relationship. I mean, you bring in children, the spouse brings in children into the relationship. And it is seldom, if ever, they're going to come into a marriage equally financially yoked. So already, maybe in the will, that the person who has finances and stocks and bonds, and maybe a half, just only, let's say just a little bit of money, like a half $1 million. Only a half $1 million in cash in the bank. Now they're getting married, and they had all these children. So you had two, spouse has two. And you can do a prenup. There are many prenups in middle-class marriages just to protect those type of assets. And they will say, in case of my demise or a separation or a divorce, that my children, my son Bob, will keep the house. My daughter Sue will get my car. And 25, you know, half of $1 million in the bank will go to this and will go to this. And my spouse will receive $100,000. So, yes, there are many, many prenups that are made up, not because you plan to get married, but it also says in case of a couple's demise. And you're not going to just abandon, in this particular case, see, I'm not going to abandon my children who are 30 years old just because I got married to this woman. Or this woman say to this man, I'm still going to take care of my children. And it's, I tell you what it's almost like, just life insurance. When you take a look at the beneficiaries on life insurance, it's just a contract for your protection, not an assumption that we don't want to be married to each other.
Let me say one thing to make this clear. Your prenup might protect you as it relates to your assets, but not necessarily your obligations. If that makes sense mm-hmm. to anybody else other than me.
Right. Because at the end of the day, you owe what you owe to whoever you owe it to.
Right.
And there's no getting out of that, because even at death, and I don't wish that on anybody, but even at death, there are certain institutions that are coming for their money.
Right.
You know, they're going to come for the final payments on a loan, on a house. They're going to come for final payments on any health insurances that was not covered. They're going to come for what they're going to come for at the end of the day. But what I'm looking at is if people are getting married, they are to unite their life. So in uniting your life, you have to unite your finances. And not only must you unite your finances, but you have to come to good financial practices as you are married. Meaning, you can't just buy this and buy that because you want to. You have to make sure that it's benefiting to your marriage. Why? You don't want to do anything that's going to thwart the direction of your marriage. Any relationship has an aim. Any relationship has a goal. And if you're not going in the same direction, you already have problems, because it says somebody is not united to go in the same direction. So this is why we're talking about why did I get married? Because you have people who are married and their marriage isn't working because they are not united to move in the same direction. We're not just talking about legally, but now we're talking about economically. We've got to have this this mindset that, look, and I think you said it a couple of weeks ago, Lady Gabriel, it's not yours, ours. It's not mine, it's ours. We are now together with this. So it's no longer my money, it's now our money. Even if we don't have joint accounts, we are responsible together for things that need to be taken care of. So if you come up short on your end because we're together and we are united, well, then there is some slack that comes on to me, or vice versa, because it's no longer yours. It's no longer mine. It's now ours. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're right.
You're right.
And keep in mind, there's a key word that was mentioned a few moments ago, and that is called obligation. Now, the obligation that you have to pay has no impact on your prenup. I talked about that $500,000 in the bank. That money belongs to whoever the prenup said it belonged to. Now, however, keep in mind also, many people are under the impression that when you die, your debts die. There are many debts that you are still obligated to pay after death, but this is not part of the prenup. This is between you, the spouse, and the person that you owe the money to. So it's not an assumption that, okay, I didn't think this thing was going to work out. It's really for protection of you, who you want to protect with the assets that you had prior to getting married and where you would like for it to go. And that is a legal binding agreement unless you find out that under unusual circumstances of duress that the person, you know, was not fairly dealt with.
That's something. That's something. See, but all of these things are imperative because it leads to another uniting. We understand the uniting of the lives legally. We're talking about this uniting of the lives economically. But now we have to deal with the most important of all of these, and that is uniting of the lives emotionally. See, because there is it's a bad thing if you get married and you have no emotional ties, no emotional connections. Because the worst thing you can do is be in a marriage with the attitude of apathy. I don't care. Because to be in a marriage and to be careless is to be in a marriage with no feelings, no emotions. And if there are no emotions, there is no psychological or philosophical or logical investment. There are no interests, if you will, with ideologies and ideas. There are no interests if there is no uniting of emotions. Because without emotion, and though I do not believe that this is an emotion, but it leads to it, without an emotional connection or attachment, there can be no love. So you have people who are married and they don't love each other because there's no emotional attachment. There's no emotional connection. So they can't even have a decent conversation because there's no emotions. You ever talk to somebody and they just sit there and listen, and then when you get through talking, they sit there saying, well, what did you say? Why there was no interest is because there was no emotions. So then you have financial issues, right? And you have a person who has financial issues in their marriage now, but they are not emotionally connected. They can care less what happens because they're probably already looking for a way out as it is. Uh-oh.
Let me just, I think I've heard of people like that. There are some people who get married. I think I've heard of people like that get married just for money. Now, and in all seriousness, that's what, in a case of the prenup, all too often, and we say this is a real, all too often, most of the people who are making these prenups, well, I say quite a bit of them, I won't say most, are actually, in many cases, on today, as we talk about today, are sports figures, are people in the limelight, and there are groupies that follow these celebrities. There are groupies that follow the basketball players, football players, who otherwise, without their status, they would not even give them the time or day or a cup of tea. However, and they will find themselves easing up to them, saying, I love you, and whatever the case may be. And this young fellow, or sometimes old fools too, will marry this young lady, a girl, or whatever the case might be, and she is married for the money. And that is where a person with any sense of any guidance will make up a prenup to protect his assets in case of separation of divorce. And there are people sometimes in some states, if you're married to them maybe a year or two, whatever the year might be, they will find out that if she leaves him or vice versa, she might be subjected to just about how would we always say $20,000 a week or $15,000 a week, case like that, because he failed to make a prenup prior to marriage. And that is the situation that they have now. And there, and I could step out on a limb and say, all I would say about 95% of these marriages of the girls that get married to these stars have no real emotional feeling for him, but for the money. And I am my rebuttals are welcome.
A prenup and emotions are not mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean that if you get a prenup, it takes away the emotional part of a marriage. You can just be in love, but your situation, your circumstances, your life prior to the marriage would be advantageous to you and other people with a prenup. So it's not like, if I get a prenup, I'm going to be void of all emotional attachments. You can still love somebody as much as you did before, but the conditions are protecting the person's financial assets before that were in place before he or she met each other.
Let me see if I can add this to the situation. The prenup are primarily designed to cover your assets, not necessarily. And those, when I say assets, I mean those items that you may own or control that are free from all obligations. Your house, your car, or whatever it is that you have a payment due on it, prenups cannot protect you from that. Now, if you have $100,000 or $10 in the bank, free and clear, yes, your prenup can protect you from that, but it does not protect you from the obligation that you may have as a result of your relationship with an individual. Careful when we talk about prenups as being the answer to all of our obligations independently or jointly, because as I just mentioned earlier, from a lender's standpoint, we look at who signed those loan documents or who signed that mortgage or who signed that obligation to repay. And a prenup does not transcend or trump that document. Now, the prenup, certainly, yeah, it can take care of your liquid assets, but not necessarily your obligation. Can I drop the mic?
Well, that was a key word. The operative word was you're still obligated because of a marriage. It's just that the prenup have specific items, specific amounts that a person is legally obligated to adhere to in case of separation, divorce, and death.
Let me see if I can add one bit of light. Your obligations accrued after marriage would not be covered by a prenup, obviously. So what we are talking about when we talk about prenup are your obligations prior to marriage, your assets prior to marriage. So we have to be extremely careful when we talk about a prenup and we get married and then we go down and buy a lottery ticket and hit it, okay, then we figure that that's not part of it because I bought the ticket yesterday, la-da-da-da-dee. But no, we have to make sure that we are talking about obligations when they were incurred. And I dropped
okay,
the mic.
I think you remember I said earlier, a prenup, you cannot do a prenup after the marriage vows. A prenup is only legal for it is when both parties sign a prenup before the marriage. You cannot institute and bring about a prenup after a person is married, after the couple is married.
That's exactly why they call it a prenup.
All right. So let's keep the money where you want to keep it and pay your obligations that you're legal by the state to pay the obligations because of marriage, you're still married. It doesn't mean that you are two separate individuals. They're just specific items, specific amounts that will not take place. It will have to be carried on just as the contract states. It doesn't mean I don't love you. I mean, I just got to take care of this just in case. And, again, it's people with just a little bit of money. Not a little bit, but, you know, say $500,000. To some people, to some families, that's a sizable amount of money, and they don't want to lose it because they got married to someone who didn't have $100,000 in the bank. And then all of a sudden, their people who they wanted to go to are out in the cold, so we just lost all of our money in 6 months. And so, but a prenup would prevent and protect that financial asset and property. All right.
When we say prenup, aren't we talking about the condition that existed prior to marriage? Let's make sure that when we say prenup, we are talking about pre-marriage rather than just saying prenup. So those things, pre-marriage.
Exactly. It's a before we get married agreement.
I'm finished.
Are we disconnected? Hello.
I'm finished. Hello.
I thought everything was silent. I thought we were disconnected because I was just thinking about the prenup. And I think the definition has been established. And I still think primary, it is in many cases, the protection of property. As a matter of fact, I just checked it out. A premarital, prenup, agreement is a contract between people who intend to get married to one another, and it explains what they have decided the rules should be about their property and obligations that they have to one another at the time when the marriage ends, either by divorce or upon death of that party. And that's before they get married. And that way, at the end, when they get this, they will know what is coming, what's not coming to them in that area. And that's the way I understand that.
Excuse me.
And that's it.
That would make problems associated with that literal interpretation is that from the union, the assets grow and extend. So that's basically where the complications occur. Yes, we both go down and we only have $100 in the bank, but sooner or later we buy a lottery ticket for after we are married. Now, who gets the proceeds from that?
Well, if they're married, in my opinion, it's our money. See, you're going back to that again.
I'm saying,
Let me finish. If you are married, in love with each other, you are either her, by the ticket, husband and wife again, and she or he, you buy the ticket. That money, in a regular marriage of two people in love, baby, we hit the lottery. That's the way I see it, according to becoming one. That is it. Because you're going back to, you're going back to me, my, and you and yours and yours. Not us. That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's exactly where you're going, because if you buy the lottery ticket basically, when you sign for it, it is not a joint ticket. It is an individual ticket.
Yeah. He went up, but in the house, me and my wife, we have what we won. We can get out of debt. I just hit the lottery with this ticket. We can get out. It's our money. Yeah, I don't think any person who is married and in love would keep that without getting. No, I don't see that. It's our husband and wife. Our.
Well, I think the records would show that quite a few people have found themselves divorced after a major hit from the lottery, because money does have a way of separating and defining love.
Yes, it does.
We can all be broke together. I mean, there's nothing like being broke together. We share a can of beans. But once luxury starts to come in, then it becomes a different set of circumstances, especially if I am the primary source for those increases. It all of a sudden, rather than our money, it becomes my money. Well, you've seen this.
Wow.
I dropped the mic.
Dr. Wendell?
I think we've been disconnected.
Did Dr. Wendell get dropped off?
Apparently not.
Apparently so, because I think we're the only three talking.
Yeah. out of time. We're not out of conversation. It is 11:04. All right. Good, Ray?
Yep.
We'll see you tomorrow, Chuck.
All right. Okay. So, we have some good political news tonight, so check on that.
All right.
What is it, Jeff? What is it? What is it, Chuck?
Huh?
What is it, just in case we don't get it? Yeah.
Oh, you get it.
All righty.
Good night.
Bye. Good night. Wow.